Greetings. My name is Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Mr. Muhammad Jamil, who is president of the Islamic Society of Baltimore. And Mr. Jamil is here today to talk to us about the various things that the Muslim community in Baltimore is doing, the many, many things that they're doing for our community. So, Muhammad, or may I call you Muhammad?
Yes, certainly.
Oh, thank
yes,
you. Yes, Welcome to the show.
Well, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be upon you. Yes. And upon thank you very much for having me today.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this, because I know you're busy, and I know that I'm not going to pretend I don't know you, because we've been working together for a number of years on various community projects.
For a long time.
To help Baltimore. So it's a pleasure to have you today.
Feeling is very mutual. And like I said, it's an honor to be present here today.
It's a
beautiful day, regardless of it's a little bit overcast.
Yes.
But it's also a great opportunity. It's quite a time when I think that my fellow citizens should know as to what Muslims are doing and where they are, what was their history here in Baltimore, you know, how did we settle here?
Indeed.
And what our projects are, what our goals are, and what contributive part the Muslims are playing as their role in our community.
Indeed, indeed. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the Islamic Society of Baltimore?
Yes. Baltimore Society was created in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, there were about 30 families who were either working for Johns Hopkins or they were students in then the Church Home Hospital, which is no more there.
Mm-hmm.
We needed a place for worship, and also some place for our children to be educated in the Islamic principles and Islamic knowledge. And we did not find any mainstream Islamic mosque or an institution.
Right.
So this was the first one that was established in Catonsville. And built the very first building, physically brick and mortar, was established in 1982.
1982,
yes.
Wow.
Because we do not borrow money from banks. It's all self-contributed. It's all donations from the community itself. So it took time to gather enough money to buy a piece of land. And since Muslims are very diversified and they do not sort of congregate in one place as a community,
right,
like the Little Italy or Chinatown or the Greek town, so they're all over the place. So it was very difficult to come to a consensus as to where we should buy the land.
Oh, I bet.
So we saw in the planning division that there was a extension of Route 70, there was Route 40 to be expanded, Beltway to be expanded. So Catonsville seemed to be the nice fit. So that's where we were established in first mosque, the first Sunday school for our children, and then just expanded from there. So we are now, after about 46 years, that we have a full-time daycare for 2 to 5 year olds.
Uh-huh.
From kindergarten to 12th grade high school.
Uh-huh.
We also have a full Sunday school. We have religious school called the Quran Academy. And in that, we have memorization of the Quran. We have scholar programs, a seminary. There is also a free clinic for anyone in the community or outside who are underinsured or not insured.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so these are different projects that has been working on since its inception.
Boy, that's wonderful. And I know that you and I have worked together on Baltimore County Good Neighbor Week.
That's correct.
And focusing on various things that volunteers,
yes,
such as Muslim volunteers, are doing,
yes,
in the community. And I know that Baltimore County has, in the process of that, given several awards over the years to the various things that the community has been doing.
Actually, the recognition was, what I would say is the number one thing was that the president of our United States, President Obama,
uh-huh,
chose Islamic Society of Baltimore to visit, the first mosque that he visited during his presidency.
Wow, that's an incredible honor, isn't
it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was very exciting, very thrilling, and not to mention very timely, given the geopolitics and our own dysfunctional misguided xenophobic rise that is taking place.
Yeah, it's such, Baltimore is such a contrast. Baltimore is, I guess you know that I'm on the board of directors of the Central Maryland Ecumenical Council, representing the Presbyterians.
Yes, that I recall.
The Presbyterians. And I've gotten to know that over the years that I've been working in with various folks, both in the Christian community and Jewish community and Muslim community and Buddhist community and agnostics, et cetera, that Baltimore in many ways has a lot to be proud of in terms of interfaith cooperation and
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that any city can beat us because we are very proud. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'm accused in a positive way as the ambassador for Baltimore, because when I selected Baltimore to settle 46 years ago, the main criteria that impelled me to say this is my home, new home, is because not only that Baltimore is the, I believe that without Baltimore, the United States would not exist today. And I'm talking about in terms of the 1812 war. It's the people from Baltimore who pushed back, fought back, and saved our country.
That's right.
But in addition to that, we were the very first one to practice the freedom of religion.
That's right.
The very first Catholic church, the very first Baptist church established. Mm-hmm. Not only that, so progressive that even from the gender-specific achievements, the very first all-women's college established in the United States is Notre Dame.
Right.
And the very first all-women's teaching college established in the United States, Goucher. And all the other inventions, the very first mall built in Baltimore, the very first rotating tower, you know, the restaurant, revolving restaurant, is the first one built in anywhere in the United States. The first gaslight company, you know, the first sugar refinery in the world still working today. So I think the Baltimore is a very progressive and I think way ahead of many cities and many countries of the world.
Yes.
So this is the place that we felt that was most accommodating, most welcoming of all different ethnic backgrounds, of religious backgrounds. So I'm very proud of it.
Proud. Thank you for pointing those things out. I bet a lot of our listeners did not know all of those first.
Well, they also should know that we not only excelled in that, also in many of the inventions and discoveries.
Yeah.
The electric refrigerator.
Electric refrigerator?
Right here. Invented here in Baltimore.
I didn't know that.
Also, the very first telegraph signal from B&O went from here. All the medical inventions and discoveries in Johns Hopkins from sutures and other things that took place was right here in Baltimore.
And that saved so many lives.
Absolutely.
And make so many lives so much better.
So much better, yes.
Yeah.
So from the education point of view, from the medical point of view, from the commerce point of view, from technological point of view, Baltimore should be very proud. We are a very blessed group of citizens, very unique. Within 2-hour drive, we can be at the mountain or we can be at the ocean. It's truly American miniature in every way and form.
You are a great ambassador for Baltimore, Muhammad.
No, I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud.
Yes. Well, it's as you said, there's a lot to be proud of. There's a lot to be proud of.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about, to give folks a little bit more about the specifics of the Muslim community in Baltimore. And as you said, it's a very, very, and as I know very well, it's a very varied community living all over the place.
Yes, it is. Actually, the history goes back to that. Remember that Baltimore and Annapolis have been the ports of landing for slaves.
Right.
And Muslims have been known to be here actually as early as the 1400s. And when the slaves were coming in from Caribbean, and many Caribbean slaves had actually come from then India and Philippines and those countries. So the largest number that we know in the history is in the 1800s, when about 10 million West African slaves were brought. About 3 million of them were Muslims.
So 3 million of
3
the 10.
Million of them. That's that's all. That's exactly 30% of them.
I
so
guess
it
that,
is their descendants who are now reverting back to Islam, and this is the largest number of Muslims now amongst all the Muslims from different countries around the world. Hmm. There are Muslims who came after the Second World War from Iraq, from Syria, from Lebanon, from Egypt. In my generation, they came from Pakistan and other places after the Vietnam War, when President mm-hmm. Johnson opened up the visas, and then we needed doctors, educators, engineers.
Right.
So this is the largest group that came in the 20th century. Hmm. So the most of us are professionals. As a matter of fact, the youth, the Muslim youth, based on their population mm-hmm. per capita, they're the richest group youth amongst the minorities and the highest educated.
My goodness, that's wonderful.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Right.
And that's part of the result.
Yes.
Of the strong family that is the basis of
absolutely,
of Muslim life.
Absolutely. I think that since I've been here, since 1970, mm-hmm. that is the, it's a heartbreaking observation that over the last 46 years, I'm observing that breakdown of the family unit, which in itself is a lesson for the Muslim community.
Yeah.
And look for the reasons why that breakdown has taken place, and therefore to counteract those before our next future generations,
right.
so that they don't follow the same pattern.
It's a call to arms.
Yes, it is.
And arms can be many ways, and this is both arms mental and arms physical.
Correct, huh? Correct. And that is the reason why education is the primary mission of the Islamic Society of Baltimore and interfaith, so that people see each other. In our holy scripture, God says that I've created you from different tribes and different places so that you know each other. So knowing each other requires interaction.
Right.
We cannot be self-secluded and expect everybody to know each other. We are one of the most blessed nations on the planet, where we have people from every ethnic background, every religious background, every race, you know, every color. And it is important that we reach out. So interfaith is the other very important mission that Islamic Society of Baltimore is involved in. And we have every Friday and any time of the week, we have open doors. Actually, 24/7 is open door policy. But every Friday, we have visitors coming in. We invite them from every background, whether they are Christians or Jews or Hindus or Buddhists. Our door is open. They do not even need to call and say, can we come? Oh, you can come. Absolutely. Everybody is welcome.
That's wonderful.
And somebody will always be there to receive them. Of course, not in the evening. Let us know in the morning.
Right.
And somebody will be there to receive you. And it's open. You can see. And what you see is what you get. Right. I don't have to stand up on a pulpit and say who I am, who we are,
right.
and what we stand for.
It's how folks act.
The proof is in the pudding.
Right. Exactly. How can someone find out more information about the Islamic Society of Baltimore? We're almost out of time here.
Well, there are a few things I can do. One is go on our website, mm-hmm. which is ISB, which is for Islamic Society of Baltimore, mm-hmm. .org, or call 410-747-4869. And anyone is welcome to contact me directly if they want, or call me directly. My name is used in the email, which is Muhammad, Muhammad, .Jameel, Jameel, 2@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time.
Well,
it does go quickly, doesn't it?
Yes, it certainly does.
Especially certainly. Talking to an old friend.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure, and God bless you. And God bless your radio station for facilitating this opportunity.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Mr. Muhammad Jameel, who's president of the Islamic Society of Baltimore, for being our guest today. Thank you, Muhammad.
You're very welcome.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you. Need all your prayers and well wishes.
Amen. Amen. That we will do. That we will do. For Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.